Welcome to this episode of the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. I'm Lance Carter. Today's guest, Blaine Weaver, is just like you and me. He moved out to L.A. when he was 19. He got lucky and booked some parts in shows like JAG and ER and Chicago Hope. But eventually, he realized that he kind of wanted to do something a little more substantial. So, with a friend, he picked up his pen, or sat at his computer, and started writing. That film was Manic, and it starred Don Cheadle, Zooey Deschanel, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Blaine had a small part in the film, and as he was on set, he thought, you know what, I can do this. And he has. After writing and directing a short called Losing Lois Lane, he wrote and directed his first feature called Outside Sales. Next came Weather Girl, and now he's got Six-Month Rule. Six-Month Rule stars Blaine, Martin Starr, Natalie Morales, Dave Foley, Jamie Presley, and the great John Michael Higgins. That's going to be released in New York and Los Angeles this coming June. Blaine and I talked recently about the film, what it's like to direct himself, and if it's easier to act in something that he's written. This is a really good, fun interview, and I'm looking forward to you guys listening to it. Once again, I really do appreciate it when you support the advertisers, because every little click does help. It's how this website stays alive. And don't forget that we also sell casting director and agent mailing labels and have a bunch of other cool actor services available. You can check all of that out on the site, dailyactor.com. And now, here's Blaine. Let's start off with a question you probably answered a million times. What's the film about?
Okay, well, the movie's Six-Month Rule, and it's about this womanizer named Tyler Watts, who has this set of rules that he follows to avoid emotional attachment. The six-month rule is his theory that you can get over anybody in 6 months, and once you know that, you never really fall under the spell of love, I guess, to begin with. And his best friend is recently dumped, so he takes his best friend under his wing to kind of teach him these callous dating ways. But then he meets a girl, which kind of changes everything he thinks he knows.
And I saw where you wrote the script like around, what, like 6 years ago?
Yeah. That way, it's something that I mean, obviously the script has changed in those 6 years. It wasn't, a brilliant finished piece of work back then. But, the first draft of it was ages ago. And I was trying to get it financed when my last movie kind of came together, surprisingly, Weather Girl. So I shelved 6 months for a little bit, and then there was a point where there was another producer attached, and there was a point when we were going out to talent for it. I mean, it's had many incarnations, this movie, and the whole time, all I've wanted to do was make it myself the way I wanted to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I got the script back from being optioned from somebody else, I was like, all right, if I can do this, if I can raise the money for this, doing it the way I want to, with myself acting in it and putting the cast that I want in there, then I'm going to do it. And luckily, I was able to do that.
Now, when you originally wrote this, did you always plan to play the lead?
I did, actually. I mean, my entire writing and directing career has all stemmed from my being an actor. Like, that's where I started, and I did, you know, I moved to Los Angeles when I was 19 and, you know, had some good luck, some good jobs back to back. And at a certain point, I decided I wanted to write something to act in. So a buddy of mine and I, we wrote this film called Manic, which ended up getting made with Don Cheadle and Zooey Deschanel, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt ended up playing the part that I had written for myself. And, you know, he did a pretty good job. but I bounced to a smaller part in the movie, and, but that's how I got started writing it all. And I saw what the director did in that movie, and I'm like, I can do this. So then I directed and wrote my first short, which I starred in, where I played a depressed Superman who's been dumped by Lois Lane. And that got a lot of attention online, so I did another movie that I wrote and directed, and I played, like, kind of the bad guy in a movie called Outside Sales, which very micro-budget, but got its DVD release and, you know, got everything we ever wanted for it. And so, you know, yeah, everything, you know, like, I write for other people. Obviously, I, you know, that's part of my job is I write. But when I write a project, oftentimes I'm thinking about me, and oftentimes I'm thinking about, you know, the experience of making the movie, you know, from inside it. You know, it's like I respond to that kind of Woody Allen, Ed Byrne kind of idea of it having a voice that, you know, I'm a part of.
And how is it directing yourself? Because, like, I know if it were me, I would just sort of concentrate on my work and barely notice the other people in the scene, you know?
Well, I tell you, that's the biggest threat of it is not, like, with me, like, I don't feel like that's something that I tend to do because I'm, I don't know. I've just had a lot of experience with it, but I feel like the biggest threat is them thinking that that's what's happening, you know? Because the one thing you don't want to do is make your actors think that you're not focusing on them at all. You know what I mean? Now, yeah, you get in there sometimes, you mix it up, you focus on what you need to do at the moment, and then you go back to the monitor, and you look at the whole thing, you know, as one big piece, you know? And I, you know, change what I'm doing just as much as I'll come back and give an alteration to, you know, one of my actors. But I find the biggest challenge is perception, you know, is what everybody around, you know, because you got to give the benefit of the doubt a lot to the lead / director, you know what I mean? You have to, and if you lose that moment, like if you forget to, here's the thing. Sometimes as a director, you don't really have anything to say. You like what's happening. You want to keep going. Let's keep going. But you also need to tell the actor that to make them feel like you're paying attention. You know what I mean? So sometimes that little bit of politicking gets lost because you're so in it. But the key is just to have a team around you that believes what you're doing, you know, and doesn't think that you're out to do some kind of crazy vanity project.
Now, do you have like an assistant director watching the monitor at all times and kind of helping you out?
We had kind of a brain trust around the movie, and it consisted of my director of photography, my editor, I had a co-producer, you know, and two producers. And everybody, we had these rules where you could say anything to me, you know, but you had to do it with tact, you know. It's like, I don't want to get, you know, directed or, you know, whatever in front of the other actors, but you can always pull me aside and talk, because our mantra the whole movie was that the movie's the most important thing, you know? No ego, nothing can get in the way of us making the best movie possible. So I was great. I had a really supportive group around me that solely wanted the best movie humanly possible. And sometimes that means, you know, somebody pulling you over and saying, I feel like you were better in the first take, you know, and me thinking, well, let me look at the first take. Yeah, I think you're right. All right, I'm going to go more that way. Thank you, you know. And then sometimes it has to do with something I don't agree with at all, you know, because when you have a group of people sharing and, you know, no borders to what you can say, so I'm going to disagree with you sometimes. But that was, I always wanted to know what you were thinking, even if I didn't agree with it.
Is it easier to act in something you've written? Like, you already know all the subtext or whatever, or do you think you're harder on yourself?
Interesting. I think it's a, that's a good question, because I don't think you're necessarily harder on yourself. I think you have less, adulation for the adoration, sorry, for the words, because you wrote them, you know, and I'm not Hemingway, you know, I'm a good writer, but this is, it's not that this writing cannot get better, you know, so being on it, I feel like there's a real freedom to being able to choose the people that are surrounding you, and then put great, talented people behind the camera, put great, talented people across from you as an actor, and then just play and try to make the script better, you know? Because there's very little pressure, you know, on me during the day to be like, oh, I hope I don't get fired. The pressure is make the best movie humanly possible.
How'd you cast this? Because you have some very, very cool people in the film. Like, you got Martin Starr, Jamie Presley, Dave Foley, John Michael Higgins, who I think is completely brilliant.
I could not agree with you more. He's amazing. And you know, we had a casting director who went through the traditional model of, you know, making offers and blah, blah, blah. But really, it all came down to, like, this movie, it's a small budget movie, relatively. And we had to shoot in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is, you know, a full day's travel from Los Angeles. And that's a tough sell, you know. And also, you know, we're not paying anything but scale. So how do you get these great actors, you know, to come out there? And, you know, when you're making an indie movie, I think the most important thing is your actors' attitudes. They have to know what they're getting into. You can't fool them into thinking it's a big movie because they're going to be upset, you know, at the conditions. And it takes a certain kind of actor to really roll with the independent model. And so you got to find great talents, but you also got to find people that are cool, that you want to work with. So we ended up casting almost the entire cast through people that had worked with somebody before. I had worked with Natalie Morales on her old television show, The Middleman. I had a guest star on that, and I just saw her, and I saw how she worked, and I thought she was really cool, you know? And, like, I didn't have her phone number or anything, but when the agent made the phone call, there was a connection there. I did a movie, that movie Manic, I did with an actor named Elvin Henson, who was a good friend of Martin Starr's. So when Martin got this call, you know, he asked Eldon what he thought of me. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, there's got to be this personal touch. And, you know, once you pull somebody like, you know, Dave Foley and Martin Starr in, then it gets a lot more comfortable for a guy like John Michael Higgins, who we didn't know, to say, sure, I'll do that. Look at this great cast of characters, you know. Jane Presley signed on to the movie because she wanted to work with Martin Starr, you know. That's the kind of cast you want to build, where one thing leads to another, and everybody's really happy to be a part of it.
Have you worked with, and you don't have to say names, but have you worked with some, like, dicks on set, and you're like, fuck, why did I hire this guy?
You know what, I've been really lucky in my career, because I've worked as an actor with dicks before, and I've seen them just, you know, just mess up the whole thing, you know, like, movies or television shows that, you know, there's no reason this can't be good, except for your ego is going to just derail this whole thing. And so I've always been very keenly aware of not bringing on people who are going to, you know, wreck the thing, you know? And I'm very vigilant about it. So I've been lucky. Like, the cast and, you know, crew that I've been able to hire have always been great. And that's true. That's not just me, you know, talking smack. Maybe my first movie, I had a couple people, but they were working for free, you know? Yeah. And they got a little diva-y on me, but nothing to speak of. I mean, but I've been on set as an actor where it's like, good God, get this guy away from me, you know?
Now, are you stickler to staying to your script, to staying with the words?
No, I'm not. I feel like some of the best lines, you know, that I get credit for are you know, a great actor improvising. We don't do the Apatow model where we just keep rolling and rolling and, you know, see what comes out of it. But I do, you know, I do encourage, you know, people to try to make it real. And I feel like the funniest moments come when someone says something that's very sincere and what they would say exactly at that moment. And it amazes me any writer-director who is, who sees their movie get better because, you know, somebody improvised a line or something like that, who then says, no, that's not in the script, stick to it. I mean, when you have something like John Michael Higgins and Dave Foley and Martin Starr, I mean, you have to let them be who they are. I mean, they're hilarious, you know? Why not let that serve the script? You know, obviously sticking with, you know, the theme and the truth in the movie. You know, it's not, these guys aren't just comedians, they're really good actors, you know? So if Dave Foley feels like the character he's playing might say this, I'm going to film that. I may not use it, but I'm going to at least film it, you know?
Which do you like better? I mean, acting, writing, directing, you also do voiceovers. Is there anything that you would prefer to do one over the other?
No, not really. I mean, there's nothing I like better than, you know, doing something like this, like 6 month rule, you know? It's like where we get to, it feels to me like crafting, it's crafting a piece of art, from all sides, and making something that hopefully people respond to, but I don't, with this movie specifically, I don't really delineate between where does the writer stop and where does the director stop and what about the actor and, what does the producer do? You know what I mean? It's all part of this project, this art project. And it's so fulfilling. And it stresses me the hell out. But it's so great because the amount of weight on it is so big. You know what I mean? It's like, that is the greatest thing in the world to me. Now, if I get hired for an acting job or I get hired for a writing job, which of those do I want to do? I don't know. I think they're different things, and, there's not one that I covet more than the other. But as far as making the movie, I really like doing all of them. Maybe I'm a power nut or something.
So, are you still actively pursuing acting work, or do you just want to kind of concentrate on the things you develop?
No, I think I am actively pursuing it. I feel like right now, with the way the business is going, it's possible to be one of these Renaissance people more than ever before, I really think. I mean, there's no stigma to being, an actor on television and an actor in movies, you know what I mean? There's this great thing where actresses, like Kristen Wiig, can be a writer and an actress, or, and there are a lot of actor-director types on the film festival circuit right now. It's really exciting. Like, I have a movie that I shot about 3 months ago, a movie called Favor, that I just, I'm the lead in. I had nothing to do with it. I'm not a producer. I'm not a director. I'm just an actor. And it's like, man, it was really fulfilling to be like, all right, I have nothing to do with this except for show up and do my part. And it's just really exciting.
Was it kind of an invitation for you?
It was, kind of. It wasn't like I had to kill a certain side of my brain, at least have to go to sleep, but it's great because you can channel all that into the acting too, and then just be like, I'm going home at the end of the day, instead of I'm going to go back and look at dailies or whatever. And I'm really excited to get to push, the director's a guy named Paul Osborne, and I'm just really excited to get to push his movie next year the way I'm pushing mine right now.
What's your writing process like? I mean, do you come up with an outline first, or you just hit the ground running?
Yeah, I'm definitely a hit the ground running kind of guy. It's frustrating because I write for myself, but I also write for hire. So when I'm writing for hire, most people want an outline. So that's a frustrating process to me because it's not my natural instinct. So I struggle with an outline for weeks, but I can get a lot of pages down in a row. But I just like to write.
So do you always know sort of the beginning and middle and end, or do you just have a beginning in mind and go from there?
Well, when I'm writing for myself, it's usually a bunch of little notes right next to my computer, This 6 month rule started with this idea of a true story about single people, because that's what I wanted, and that's the kind of thing that I feel like I would enjoy watching. And that was written on a little post-it next to my computer, reality, what's it really like, and that kind of created this character that is kind of an anti-hero who's kind of callous to, the romance ways, which I think is a unique romantic comedy. Here's this guy who doesn't believe in any of the things that make a romantic comedy work, and sometimes he's not the most likable person, but I feel like the journey that you go on with him is at the end satisfying, and you see people and aspects that you relate to from the dating world.
So I
had no idea how it was going to end, for the record.
Do you have a distribution deal yet?
Yeah, we're coming out in theaters June 1st. We open in New York City, and June 8th we open in L.A.
Nice.
And we're rolling out, limited cities to 5 to 10 more cities after that. And then we hit video on demand in August. So we're going to be all over the place by the end of the summer, and it's really exciting.
How do you feel about video on demand?
You know, I think it's exciting, to be honest. I obviously, as a filmmaker, I love the idea of going and sitting in the theater and being packed around people who are, you know, have come out needing popcorn to watch my movie. But I like the exposure that video on demand gives for the piece. It's awesome that in every house that has cable, they'll be able to go to a channel and watch the trailers of The Avengers and, you know, Another Earth and Six Month Rule all at the same time. It's like you can watch this movie that was under $1 million to make, or you can watch, you know, the multi-big budget thing. I think it exposes independent filmmakers to more of an audience than ever. You know, and it reaches more people than DVDs do, and now DVDs are going away, and it's interesting, and I'm very excited that we're on the cusp of that change.
What's your advice to actors or to people who, you know, want to come out here and get into the industry?
You know, I was just talking about this last night with a friend of mine. I was at acting class, and we were talking about, you know, she was just saying, you know, she was very excited about this movie coming out, and, you know, it's like, I'm like, you know, the best thing about right now is doing everything. Do as much as you possibly can. You know, if you're not a writer, that's fine. You know, make shorts with your friends. You know, do things for Funny or Die. Get yourself out there and practice all the time. You know, it's like, because I feel like whether you're doing a silly short, you know, for, you know, Funny or Die, or you're doing the play, or you're taking acting class, or you're, you know, in a movie, you know, you're practicing and honing your skills and getting out there so that people can see you. So it's both artistically fulfilling and, you know, business savvy.
Thank you, Blaine. I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to me. And thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV and theater, and so much more. Thank you again for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.